Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
As a health psychologist, Dr. Kelly McGonigal's job is to help people manage stress and make positive changes in their lives. After years of watching people try to control their bodies, emotions, and choices, she realized that much of what they believed about willpower was sabotaging their success and creating unnecessary stress. It became clear that many scientific insights about self-control had not yet become part of public understanding. This led to the creation of Kelly's Stanford University course, The Science of Willpower, which has the science talks about how to understand the science behind why we give in to temptation and how we can find the strength to resist. Well, the course is now a book, The Willpower Instinct, which combines the newest insights from psychology, economics, neuroscience, and medicine to explain what exactly willpower is, how it works, and why it matters. It's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Kelly McGonigal to the program. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
What got you thinking, I briefly mentioned it, but of how this fits into your work overall in psychology about thinking about that one word, willpower?
Well, first of all, I got really tired of hearing people say things like, I just don't have any willpower, and that's why I can't make this change, whether it was, you know, overcoming anxiety or getting in shape. I just kept hearing that over and over again. I don't have any willpower. And that was really at odds with what the science says, which is that everyone has willpower and everyone has willpower challenges. That's what it means to be human. But willpower is more like a muscle that can be strengthened than it is a personality trait that you lack or a gene that you lack. And, you know, my whole goal is to help people really become the versions of themselves that they want to be, to find ways to create health and happiness. So, you know, I thought what better way to do that than to start to share the science about how change is possible.
You make the point in the book that willpower is actually three powers.
Yes, we always think about the classic example of willpower as resisting temptation. I won't eat that, I won't drink that, I won't buy that or say that. And that's just one aspect of willpower. Willpower is really about being able to make choices that support your big goals. So yes, we need to resist temptation, which I call I won't power. But we also need to be willing to put our energy and attention on what matters most, even if you're tired, even if you're distracted, even if you're stressed out. And I call that I will power. I will get up early. I will stay on the treadmill even though I'm tired. I will pay attention to my spouse when they're talking. I will do these things that help me create the life that I want. And none of that matters if you don't have the third strength, I want power, which is the ability to know what your goals are and know what your values are. Because you can have all the self-control in the world, but if you're spending it on things that don't actually matter, then you end up feeling frustrated and not really creating the life that you want.
And you make that point that you really can't have all the self-control you want in the world because it isn't an unlimited resource.
No, if you try to control everything at once, it tends to backfire, and you can experience what we call willpower collapse. You know, you try to change everything, you're controlling everything you're thinking and feeling and doing, and you basically run out of the energy to make good choices and control your impulses. I always encourage people to prioritize and to start small, because willpower is like a muscle. Things that are hard get easier over time, but just like you wouldn't go out and run a marathon tomorrow if you haven't even run around the block recently, it's better to build up towards those huge goals and actually increase your willpower strength through small steps.
So, I mean, your background, of course, is psychology. So how much of this is ultimately psychological and in the sense of its success and its failures? Because it would seem to me that if we feel if we're critical of ourselves, if we have questions, if we have doubts, these are all things that can undermine that, correct?
Definitely. A big part of willpower is psychological. Mindset matters. So some of my colleagues at Stanford have shown that your beliefs about willpower, including whether or not you believe you have any, make a real difference in how likely you are to persevere at challenges. But it also is biological. We know that things like sleep has a huge huge influence on people's willpower. When you're sleep deprived, your brain doesn't function in a way that supports self-control. So there are some biological things we can do to support our brain and our body, like sleep and like exercise, that give us access to our strength. Willpower is also very social. We're very much influenced by people in our environment, the people we care about. And sometimes I think when we talk about willpower, we focus a little too much on the individual and don't recognize that we may need to do things to structure our environment to support change or find social support for making choices.
You make an interesting point in the book, and I think it's something that you explain very well. And it may be a confusing concept, but I think so it's why I'm asking you about it, so you can explain it to our audience. And that is that often the way of gaining self-control is to give up overall control.
Or to give up trying to control things that you can't really control. That's
right.
Probably the most important thing. Too often when people are trying to make a change, they try to control the things that are the hardest to control, their thoughts, their feelings, and their cravings. They might think that to quit smoking, I need to stop craving a cigarette. You know, I'll quit when I'm no longer so stressed out or so anxious. When in fact, learning to accept those inner experiences is a much better approach to change, to really focus on changing your choices and behaviors and know that, you know, the very last thing to change is likely to be the cravings or the emotions.
So, and again, that's the hard thing, because we do want control, right? We want to control a situation sometimes, which is different than controlling ourselves.
Yes. And you know, I think sometimes the focus on self-control can lead us to things like self-criticism, you know, what's wrong with me? Or, you know, why do I still feel this way? Why do I want this so much? And expanding our definition of willpower to include, you know, making good choices about what it is you keep in your home and who it is that you choose to spend time with is a better way of making that change.
When you use the word change, so how much of it is we have to be conscious of this? We have to say, and you talked about prioritization a moment ago, of what is that process like of sitting down and saying, okay, this is what I want this to be.
Yeah, I always encourage people to start by dreaming big. Too often we approach, whether it's New Year's resolutions or any kind of change, by focusing on what we don't want, what's wrong with us, what's wrong with our lives. And the best foundation for willpower is that want power, to sit down and say, you know, a year from now, what am I going to be grateful that I did? Or to think, you know, what is it I really want to experience in my life? How is it I want to be, and who do I want to be? And tapping into that want power then motivates us to start paying attention to the choices we make every day that influence our ability to reach that goal. And so, you know, those are two types of awareness that become very important in making a change.
You also address in the course and in the book that this is contagious. We can pick this up from our friends and those around us. This is something that if this is something that is encouraged in our environment, that we can pick up and run with it.
Yes, willpower is contagious. Unfortunately, so is temptation and procrastination. Our brains are very social, and we're very influenced by people, especially that we care about, or people whom we admire. And you can think about that two ways. One is it's important to surround yourself with people who share your goals. It's a way of kind of outsourcing your willpower so that when you're feeling tired or you're feeling stressed out, other people's motivation and support can help carry you through. But I also think it's helpful to think about yourself as a willpower, like a vector of change, that you are going to be contagious. And sometimes we're willing to make changes in our lives when we understand the positive effect it will have on the people we care about. And that can be a great source of motivation, you know, thinking about inspiring your spouse, your kids, your friends, and your family.
We have lost Kelly, but we were just about to wrap up. Well, not really. We had a couple more minutes, but we'll have the willpower to keep going. A reminder, the name of the book is The Willpower Instinct. It is published by Avery, and the author is Dr. Kelly McGonigal. My apologies for the problems that she had with her phone line, but hopefully we can have her back and talk more about The Willpower Instinct. In the meantime, the name of the book, The Willpower Instinct, is published by Avery. It's out in paperback. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.